Probably should have changed that to something relative to us, but I didn't.
Or set it in the correct order.
Oh, yeah, good call. I screwed that up, too. Oh, well.
Well, you can, that's the last thing. You can always change it.
No, I can't. You can never change it.
Yeah.
It's time for 2015 to be my bitch. This is Breaking Bits, the podcast number 27. I am Eric M. Hunter. If with me, as always, is Tom Hall 2.0, beautiful robot android. Tom, how are you?
Hello, Eric. My sensory receptors tell me I am good.
We can't do that to the whole podcast.
No, I cannot for the whole podcast. You literally...
I'm sorry, I started.
You just got the only 2 seconds you're going to get of that.
I know we're going to start with our quick question of the day, and I know it's cliche. Partially don't even want to ask it, but I was like, screw it, let's go for it anyway. Tom, what games are you really looking forward to in 2015?
We'll go with the obvious two. Ocarina of Time. Majora's Mask 3D. They have already shown us what they can do on the 3DS, remaking the N64 Zelda games. Ocarina of Time was an absolute masterpiece. We reviewed it here.
It was really good.
One episode of a number other than this one. So I'm really excited. Majora's Mask is one I never really played all the way through, and it was the end of the N64 life cycle, and I think a lot of people kind of missed it, and it gets overlooked. But the people who have played it just adore this game, and it's got such a following. I'm really excited. I want to play it. I'm going to enjoy it thoroughly. And then there's the Wii Zelda that is, as of yet, unnamed. They'll probably come up with something clever, like, I don't know, fairy flatulence or the stone of time travel.
They may go Smash Brothers, and it might be The Legend of Zelda for the Wii U.
I hope they don't. I don't like that. I mean, it doesn't necessarily need a fancy code name, but I don't want it to be named... just The Legend of Zelda for Wii U. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I always run into the issue of like, oh, what's your favorite Zelda game? Oh, it's A Link to the Past. Which one's that? If it was just The Legend of Zelda for the Super NES, it would be a lot easier.
Well, you could say that.
No, it's A Link to the Past.
Only one other game I can think of, and I say this with trepidation. I am a little leery, but I'm... trying to look forward to Halo 5. They have...
Really? Okay.
They've really shaken my confidence with what the Master Chief Collection did. Trouble and trouble and trouble and horridness. And so the beta is actually on right now, and I have access to it and have not touched it, and I'll explain why when we get into what we've been playing. But those are the games I can think of that are coming out that we know of. E3 will be... you know, probably another set of awesome / set of this looks like shit. We'll find out.
Was that late February, early March, something like that?
I can't even remember anymore. I used to take E3 off to just cover what was going on. I can't even tell you when it is now.
Yeah.
I think it's after May. It's sometime in June, I believe. June, July, somewhere in there. Because I remember it was after Indie PopCon last year.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Because that's late, man. Yeah, that's...
How about you?
So, yeah, definitely Legend of Zelda for the Wii U. That's pretty obvious for us, I guess. Kind of a given. Hotline Miami 2, I'm pretty excited about.
Wait, didn't you hate the first one?
No, see, all right. So here's the mistake that I guess I made initially. I really enjoyed the game. Loved the soundtrack. Wrote very highly of it right here on iamericm.com. But really hated the control scheme when it comes to using a controller. Mm. And I guess that's what I've been more vocal about than anything else, is how the controls were broken.
Uh-huh.
So everybody just assumes that I hate the game.
Gotcha.
So... That's not true. I absolutely adore the game and the storyline. I will admit that as good as this game is, the soundtrack is way better.
I have heard that.
I'm a huge sucker for the soundtrack.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, Hotline Miami too. Like I'm excited. I think it's a bold entry into the gaming community, and I think they definitely hit it out of the park with the initial release. And I think, you know, it's just not something you see every day. So it's like when we get like these little nuggets of strangeness, like we have to put it in our baskets and walk around with it. So
a basket of strange.
That's not too visual for you. the other game, which you may not know about, but I've actually been keeping tabs on for the past 3 years, I think it is now, is a fan fiction game called Mega Man X Corruption.
Hmm.
This is a fan game that has been, I'm pretty sure it's been in development for about 3 years. It's being built from the ground up, recreating the Mega Man X engine, and they're trying to overhaul it as much as possible. So you're going to have, rather than like the one or two like robot suits you can jump into, there's going to be like 12, and they're all going to be different things. You can swap back and forth between like Zero and Base, and Mega Man X. Just a ton of different enemies to fight. You know, not just your traditional 8 or 9. There's going to be a ton of them. I don't know. Like the game just looks super exciting, and the fact that it's they're building it from the ground up, like that's really cool to me. And like they're not just hacking a ROM,
right?
So hopefully, I'm pretty sure they said the game should be out this year.
Mega Man seems to me to be the most. Like, the thing that the fans want to remake the most of, like, just a different Mega Man games. Like, I don't hear about this for other series of games nearly as often. Like, there's always a fan project for Mega Man.
Yeah, and I think that just comes to how the series went. I mean, when, like, X3 and X4 came out, it really dipped off. Like, it didn't do well. I mean, being ported to, you know, the PS1 and the X... N64, like the whole Mega Man Legends, and I think people just they miss that hardcore 8-bit side scrolling, you know, run and gun shoot 'em uppers.
Yep.
Bada bing, bada.
Really, imagine what, you know, a Capcom could do if they wanted to go back and make, you know, an 8-bit game now. You can make it now, put it on the Wii U or wherever you want to put it. Like, that thing would be massive. Because it's not going to take much to, you know, render 8-bit graphics on, you know, these consoles. So you could fill that disc full of content.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and they kind of sort of did that with, like, Mega Man 9 and Mega Man 10 that came out on the Wii U. Like, they used the Mega Man NES kit.
Oh, did they?
To recreate the... Yeah, to make these games, and...
Oh, well, good for them, then.
But they, you know, they... flopped.
They
weren't as popular among the community as they were hoping. So,
well, that's sad. See, I would really have wanted something like that to take off because it would have inspired other developers to do the same thing. You know, being the money grubbing sharks they are, if it works once, how are we going to make more money off of their idea?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I mean that's what it was. Like those two games were created by Capcom employees who made this game in their free time, and then after they were done with them, well, the first one initially, and they were like, "Hey, look what we made! We found this really cool Mega Man toolkit that has been buried for so many years." So, like, we made a whole game out of it. Like, Capcom was like, "That's great! It's now $10 on the eShop," and they're like, "Oh no, we did this for fun." They're like, "No, we got it. We'll take it from here."
Remember who owns this license? Yeah. So it's $10, just so you know.
Just so, yeah, for you right now, it's $10. Just by talking about it, it's $10.
Right.
So, Tom, what have you been playing?
You know how usually you'll ask me that question?
No.
And I'll have like 2 or 3 or sometimes even like 4 answers.
Yeah, it's usually pretty extensive.
I have one answer for you.
Ooh.
I have been playing absolutely nothing. Save our review game, except for Dragon Age. Dragon Age Inquisition.
Wow.
I am well over 60 hours in now.
Wow.
I am still nowhere near done with the story, and I have no signs of slowing down. Like, there's really? Still so much to do. There's side quests everywhere. It's just, it's doing so many things that I need. I don't know. It's hard to describe. It's just, it has sucked me into this universe. I immensely care about what happens here. Like, every dialogue tree, I have to sit there and listen to what people are saying. I need to further these conversations. I need to keep my personality, you know, like, where I want it. It's like, I am the good Inquisitor.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I fought a high dragon this week for the first time. And the scale of that battle was amazing. Like, dragon's huge. Since I'm a mage, I can kind of fight it from afar. And, like, I can attack its legs. And so then it kind of drops down and my warriors can start cutting its head. You know, and so there's strategy to it. And that was a beast. It was, like, barely beat this damn thing. But you beat it and you're like, yeah, that's great. Another interesting thing satisfying. They do is there's no difficulty setting, per se. I mean, there is, but the actual difficulty of your missions is really up to you. Because before you launch into a story mission from the main map, it tells you the recommended levels for that. For this mission, you should be between, you know, 12 and 15. That's our recommendation.
Yeah.
But if I wanted to go around and do side quests, which has turned out to be what happened, and get up to, like, level 18 before I do that, and I'll just walk right through it. You know, it's basically just walking it, going through for the cinematics and enjoying laughing at people as they desperately try to hurt you and cannot. That one I didn't do so the mission would be easier. I was just so into the side quests. It's like they're all, the map's broken up into two halves, and then there's, like, cities or areas, and those areas are full of all of the different side quests. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to clear out, you know, this area today, and then I'll clear out this area tomorrow, and they're just all full of shit, and you'll finish a quest, but in doing so, you will find a scroll, or you'll find a dead body or a journal that will unlock another quest in the area. And so what you see on the map at first turns out to be a fraction of what you wind up unlocking in the completion of the other quests. I've gotten so much for my money, and it feels weird to say that because EA published this game.
That's what I was waiting for.
And I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop, and it never does. And now, at over 60 hours, I think I can comfortably say that they have actually knocked one out of the park here.
See, the other shoe dropping would be suddenly getting something in the mail from EA saying, hey, thanks for playing Dragon Age Inquisition. We see that you've been playing for 60 hours. We do appreciate it. Just so you know, we do have your credit card number on file and have been charging you by the minute since you've passed 5 hours of gameplay. Here is your bill.
What have an interesting nice day. Way to, for me to get yeah. onto an airplane and fly over. We'll kick a door.
No, that's great, man. I mean, I don't know about you, but especially with me, like, it's so hard to find games like that nowadays, especially if they're not, you know, 10, 15, 20 years old.
Right.
To find those games that just so suck you in and you can't help but play it every day. You can't help but think about it when you're not playing it. You know, like, it's like a forbidden fruit kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where, and they're so inconsistent when they come out, because, like, a lot of the time, like, you don't even know that's what it's going to do. Other times, it's like, you want this game to be that way, and it's just not,
mm-hmm.
you know? And when you do find that game, it's like, you don't want to do anything else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, I applaud you, sir. I want that feeling. I want that.
Dragon Age Inquisition. So, that's how you'll get it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna buy an Xbox One just to play that game.
So.
Come on, Tom. Come on. It's no Wii Sports, my man. All right, it's no Wii Sports.
You bite your tongue. yeah, there's just like other stuff. Unlocking schematics for weapons you can craft, and then you know going in and because you as you're traveling through these areas, you come across crafting materials. So there's just like a plant growing. And you harvest the plant, and there's a rock, or there's some like a mineral deposit in a rock that you're walking past. Oh, I'll grab that. And then you come back, and you're ready to craft something, and you've got all these materials, and they add different things to the weapon or the armor that you're going to craft. And so you get to, you make all these decisions, and it powers you up. Or I would like this one to give me better attack, or better magic, or better willpower. And then you do that, and you can craft upgrades. Like, I'm going to put a different hilt on here, and the hilt is magical, so it's going to give me, some extra, attack power to this weapon. And so there's that minigame going on of Master Builder. And then, like, your whole castle is, like, upgradable and customizable. And so as you're out there, you're finding stuff and unlocking that, and it's just the scale of this game is incredible. So, bravo.
Sounds great, man. Yeah.
So, that's me. That's what I've been playing.
That's a whole lot more interesting than what I've been playing. So.
Pocket Pool?
I mean, got to keep my skills up, man. The championship almost here. No, I was the happy giftee of Mario Kart 8. So, I am now officially Mario Kart 8 owner.
Nice.
I've been playing that game quite a bit, actually. It is a fun game. And I didn't even hesitate. Like, I went ahead and purchased the DLC that's available for it. So I got to race around as Link on that sweet bike.
That is pretty sweet.
It's pretty sweet. I'm not a bike guy. I don't like the way they handle in the game. But I definitely did a couple of courses just so I could try it out and look badass.
Yeah.
I also, this has to be the first time ever, but I actually pre-ordered DLC.
Oof.
Yeah, for this game.
Oh, the Animal
Farm.
Animal Crossing?
Animal Crossing. God, it tells you how big of a fan I am.
Animal Farm, wasn't that like a frat movie?
It's a book.
Animal House.
No, it's
not thinking of.
No, Animal. Yeah, you're thinking of Animal House. Animal Farms. It's a satirical book about like dictatorships and socialism.
That would be an interesting DLC set for Mario Kart 8.
Would be. Of all things. So I've been playing. Actually, I've played that game to the point where my hands started hurting because I played it for so long. The changes and things that they've done, like, because I'm a huge Double Dash fan. Mm. Everybody knows it. I love me some Double Dash.
True, you do.
But this game, man, like, they have really gone in and been meticulous about the courses and the items and even the AI, and they've tweaked it to the point where this could be the last Mario Kart game they ever need to make. Because they have literally covered every single one of their bases. Like, the ability for the carts to go, upside down by, mm-hmm. gripping to the track and stuff like that. Like, that opens the possibility of they can take every fucking Mario Kart game ever made and recreate it in this engine, and it would work pristine. Like, some of the tracks that they've downloaded or that they've made, obviously, are remakes from other Mario Kart mm-hmm. games. And even to the point where it's like, they fixed the race or they fixed the track. So one of the tracks that they, to me, in my opinion, that they fixed was Rainbow Road from the N64. Mm-hmm. It's too damn long. Like, it's like a 10-minute race. So instead, what they've done is it's one lap. But it's in between the entire track. Mm-hmm. They've put spots in where it's like a new lap. Exactly. Which is the perfect thing to do, you know? And it actually goes, you start to realize that how simple some of like their earlier tracks were compared to what they are now, just in terms of like things going on in the background. For instance, Rainbow Road from the Super NES, which was the hardcore level in that game because there was no barriers, there's no wall, so like you could easily fall off. Which is super duper boring playing it now because practically you can fall off on every track, so you already have that fear of, you know, staying on the road and stuff like that. So like it's fun to play just because of the nostalgia, but it's super boring.
When I played the N64 Rainbow Road in that game, it's the remastered soundtrack.
Yeah.
Oh god.
It's really good.
Just pumped it straight into my ear holes.
Nintendo did an excellent job with this game, and now I'm getting to the point where like I'm pretty damn good at this game. I played a lot of online, and I seem to be at least in the top one or two when I play online. But I'm failing most times because I haven't unlocked all of the cart parts. So as you're playing the game, you collect coins. Coins help you with your speed, so you always want to have at least 10 coins because that keeps you at your top speed. At the end of the cup, regardless if you win or lose, they take all those coins. If you collect 50 or more, you unlock like a car piece. It could be a wheel. It could be like a type of like glider parachute thing that you get on the back of your cart. Or it could be like an entirely different vehicle. So I've unlocked all of the characters, which was pretty easy for the most part. But now I'm just trying to collect coins for the most part so I can unlock these car parts. Because I don't have the best cart now in terms of statistics, right? Because I haven't unlocked it yet. So if I'm playing a game, unless if I completely screw up and just like fall off the side of the track, or like if I play a perfect race, I still lose because I'm still not the fastest, you know, because my cart just won't go that fast.
And if you ain't first, you're last.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, second place is just first loser. So I'm kind of out of impasse now because after you reach 1,000 coins collectively while playing, you don't get card parts every 50 coins now. It's every 100 coins. So unless if you're not paying attention, like you can usually get 50 coins through one cup if you're paying attention and trying to collect as much as possible. But it takes the entire cup, all four races, to get that many coins. Well, now it's 100, which means I have to play two cups or the same cup back to back so I can get 100. Just what, like, I'm already at that point where it's like, okay, if this online bit doesn't hold up, like, I'm probably not going to play this game anymore unless if there's, like, friends around.
Right.
Which sucks. Because, like, I don't care about time trials very much. The battle system, or the battle part of the game has changed. Now you're just playing on regular courses. You don't have to play in battle arenas anymore. So that's kind of, I don't know how I feel about that very much. But, I mean, it makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't like making sense.
But go back to something you said a second ago, that you pre-ordered DLC for this.
I pre-ordered DLC.
I think that's more a testament to Nintendo showing for years now that they are not the other developers. You know, like,
it's true.
I would probably pre-order DLC from Nintendo because what they've proven without fail since 1985 to me was that I can count on them to produce a quality product.
Yeah.
When you have earned that level of trust, you know, you get little things like, I will pay you in advance to make this. And your word that you will deliver it is good enough for me. Because you have proven your word to be worth something. Now, don't fuck it up, would be my advice.
Exactly. Yeah. Which, I mean, if you think about it, it's Mario Kart 8 tracks is all I'm getting. And, like, I'm getting 8 new tracks, which, you know, some of those are going to be reduxed older tracks. And I think I'm getting 2 more characters who I'm not going to play as because the best character in the game is Wario.
I'm a Toad guy.
Toad's too light, man. His top speed sucks.
That's what I like about him.
Then you would lose if we raced together.
No, I wouldn't.
You would.
No.
Yes, you would.
I know what's up.
Do you know what's up?
I do.
So yeah, Mario Kart 8. And I actually also received Smash Brothers for Christmas.
Nice.
Have yet to touch it.
What a mistake.
I've been playing Mario Kart 8, so I've been satisfied for now.
For now.
For now.
Your life will be over.
Sooner or later.
When you start Smash Brothers, we'll just find you with a long beard, and there'll be just
cobwebs
poop
on
everywhere.
Me. Yeah. Poop everywhere.
Like, you won't leave to use the restroom, just wherever you are. Yeah.
I'm all right with it.
And then we'll turn over, we'll turn and look at the TV, and it won't even be on.
It'll just be blue input on the screen.
Come on, Eric, let's go get you some air. You don't even have words anymore. You're just feral.
Just grunts. I'm okay with all of this, just so you know. I am okay with all of this.
It's all right. That's exactly how I am with Dragon Age. Right now, I'm just like,
It's like, oh, what's this bright light? Oh, it's daylight.
Make it stop. That's why I have blackout curtains. Boom, now it's night again.
You'll never know what time of the day it is. All right, man. You want to get in some news?
Gosh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
Because with it being January and the beginning of the year, it's a slow couple of weeks for news. But I think I've come up with some pretty good talking points. But if not, we can just pass over them because it's whatever, man. All right. For those who may not know, the Sony PlayStation Network and the Xbox Live Network were DDoSed on Christmas Day, I believe. Yeah, it was
by
Christmas Day.
Dickless assholes.
By a hacker group, I believe, known as Limp Lizards. I'm pretty sure that's
what the Lizard Squad.
Was it Lizard Squad? Okay, maybe I just put the Limp Lizard in there.
No, Limp Lizard's good too. Let's not give them too much credit and call them hackers.
I mean, anybody can do a DDoS attack. It's actually pretty easy, fairly inexpensive.
They couldn't hack Yahoo Mail. Fucking worthless pricks.
I mean, they're still trying to hack, like, Ultra Vista, so.
They can hack my asshole. How about that?
Would, like, make it bigger or give you a second one? How would you do that?
Doesn't matter. They can't get it
anyway,
done. They're worthless.
PSN and Xbox Live were pretty much down for almost 3 to 4 full days.
Xbox Live was down less than 24 hours.
PSN was it?
They had that back up, I think, before the end of Christmas Day or very early in the morning the day after.
So was it PSN that was down for a couple of days then?
Yeah. Kept PSN. PSN couldn't get back up for, I think, like 3 days.
All right. Yeah. Sorry. All I know is that, Nintendo's network was not down at all, ever.
Nope.
So it was fine. Anyway.
Shabazz. That's because nobody knew they had one.
Like, Nintendo's got an online network? Shit, what?
And then Nintendo's like, we have an online network?
Good call. Anyway, all right. So, Sony's been giving out PS Plus subscription extensions, 10% discounts over the network due to the outage. They've also been jumped on board with a bunch of other developers and publishers of any kind of holiday sale that they may have been running at that time. It's all been extended, which maybe it's just me being a cynical old fart that I am now. I mean, technically, they don't really have to do anything, you know, because it's not Sony's fault that the network went down. But I do find it nice that even the big boys could admit faults and try to help keep people on their network by giving out these freebies and stuff. Like, I'm all for freebie shit. You know what I mean?
Here's the thing.
But I think it's nice. I think it's nice. No, go ahead.
It's a nice gesture. Sony and Microsoft both. You know, this isn't the first time. What the fuck are you guys doing in your free time that we have yet to figure out how to counter these things?
Right.
I would say Microsoft even more than Sony, because you guys are a fucking software and hardware company. They have a web hosting service called Azure that could handle this, but Xbox Live isn't on it yet.
Right.
And, well, we'd have to take down Xbox Live to make the migration. I'm like, well, what's better? you coming around in like the middle of June and saying, listen, we've got to take Xbox Live offline for a few days so we can move it to this better cloud service that'll, you know, help prevent these future outages. Where we know in advance that's going to happen. We've planned for it. Okay, cool. We wake up and we can't connect to Xbox Live. Well, we knew that would happen. No problem. Or how about Christmas Day when a bunch of people are getting your console that you finally managed to outsell Sony with because you've slashed the price into pieces? You're like, oh man, I can't wait to play this. Boop, we're down.
Yeah.
And Sony, this is a lovely gesture, but how does it take you 3 days to get back online? And how does that happen again? Like, this isn't the first time that you've been down from DDoS attacks for several days. I mean, I guess the last time was like a week. And it's just like, well, we're going to give them some stuff and they'll forget it. Well, that's the same attitude that like Ubisoft and Activision and EA have. We're like, oh man, we fucked up that game. Sorry about that. We'll do better in the future. And then they don't.
Right. I mean, it's... yes.
Like, if you
are correct.
Want me to give you $400 or more for your hardware and then $10 or more a month for your online service, then that has to work. You have to invest the money I give you back into that infrastructure so that this shit doesn't happen.
Right.
If I had gotten my niece a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One instead of the N64 for Christmas, like,
she wouldn't have been able to play it online.
We ruined her Christmas. I mean, and that's a possibility for the future. Like, she's only 5 now. She can't handle any of that. You know, like, she's figuring out how video games work, which is why I got her a retro console. That's how you figure out how games work. Yeah, but I mean,
right.
There are kids out there, 7, 8, and they got, you know, a console for Christmas. And, nope. You know, parents, usually, that, you know, they got you a big gift. That's all they can afford. Like, you don't have stuff to fall back on here. Well, why don't we play with this Christmas present for a bit instead? I'm like,
right.
Not a lot of people. Like, if I dropped $400 for my kid and then probably another $120, $180 on games,
that's all you're getting.
That's all I got. I'm sorry, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I worked all year for this. And now my kid can't use that because these fucking idiots decided they wanted to try to make a statement. And the only statement they made is that we are assholes and everybody can't wait to see us in prison. But
I agree.
Yeah, Microsoft and Sony both, you guys need to get your shit together post-haste.
Yeah, it is getting a little ridiculous about, I mean, because it's, I mean, if you think about it, because this is, obviously, this is not the first time. Just earlier, back in 2014, Sony was hacked, like a legitimate hacked that lost, you know, that was, they were able to get, like, users' credit card numbers and stuff like that. And it's, yeah, that should have been, I mean, you've got to learn from your mistakes and not having a concrete system that protects the user over the end user over the network itself is it's bad practice and it's bad
form.
It's
unacceptable.
And sooner or later, one of two things is going to happen. As a player base, they are either going to say, oh, well, we'll just accept this for what it is because everybody does this and there's nothing else we can do and we still want to play online. Or people are going to walk away.
Yep.
I mean, I think either way, you can't take that gamble. So you've got to start protecting these things, and you've got to put these measures in place before it gets really, really bad.
Especially
to the
Sony,
point.
Who's barely treading water as it is, as a company, like not just their video game division, but I mean, like as a whole, like Sony's in deep shit.
They're in a lot of trouble. So
almost like you. I mean, it's cool that you're doing something, but this isn't the something that people want at this point. They need some guarantee, some proof, some something, some reassurance that the next time something like this is attempted, you've got it. Or if they do manage to get you down, that it's not going to take 3 days or a week to get you back online. I'm like, what, do you have one guy working on this?
Yeah, it's on his off day. Everybody's on vacation. So you guys got Steve up there? Yeah, Steve's up there. All right, he'll be fine. He'll figure this out.
Oh, but that's good. You know,
no worries.
And I know I'm a declared Microsoft guy.
Right.
But, like, I want you to fix this, Sony. Like, I don't want you to stop making a console. I don't want Microsoft and Nintendo to have to be it. Like, we need a good three consoles out there. The whole network, the video games need that. They need some competition, something. No innovation without it. So I want you to succeed, Sony. I want all three of you to succeed, and Steam too.
That's actually what I was going to mention was, I mean, this is kind of a, this kind of help fuels the idea of playing PC games rather than on dedicated hardware, because there's so many servers to play on. It's hard to target just one particular, unless if it's a massively multiplayer game.
Well, I mean, they've targeted the whole Steam service before, and so you couldn't play anything on Steam. You couldn't even connect to your account.
True. But
so that's they get you before you get to the server.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's shitty, but it's what they do because they're assholes. They have nothing better to do. Okay. And they could just as easily use their quote-unquote skills for any number of good or profitable things. But no.
And they don't. No.
I'm going to ruin a bunch of little kids' Christmases because I'm an activist. No, you're not. Asshole, is what you are.
Yeah. Maybe we should talk about something a little bit more uplifting, Tom.
Sounds good.
Shall we? Okay. How about esports? Could be in the Olympics, says former Diablo and World of Warcraft dev. So, Mr. Rob Pardo? Whatever.
Sure.
He was a former executive creative officer for Blizzard. Had an interview with the BBC saying, I think the way that you look at esports is that it's a very competitive skill set, and you look at these professional gamers and the reflexes are lightning quick, and they have to make very quick decisions on the fly. When you look at their actions per minute, they're clearing over 300. He also said that it's hard to think of video games as a sport if you define it strictly as something that requires physical exertion, but that he questions that definition given other events already in the Olympics. So esports already is kind of a strange pigeonhole kind of market. Even though ESPN regularly has been airing like Dota 2 and League of Legends events, mainly because they've been bringing tens of thousands of people to giant stadiums as an audience. So it's kind of hard not to at least be in it.
Because there's money to be made.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, obviously if there's money to be made, then you should go and check it out. But the Olympics, I think, is kind of an interesting take on that. And because there are so many things that are in the Olympics, that is kind of interesting to be there. Like ballroom dancing.
Is that really an Olympic sport?
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay.
Badminton. It's another one.
Badminton. Yeah. I'm an Olympian hitting that shuttlecock.
I don't know what that means.
You don't know what a shuttlecock is? That's what they use in badminton.
No, I know what a shuttlecock is. Trust me. I know. Okay. I just don't know what you mean.
Calm down.
In terms of the sport, I guess. All right, sorry. What? Sorry. But yeah, he sees that it's not just a sport. It's more about a competition, like chess and checkers as a competition. With that, I wholeheartedly agree with. I think the biggest problem with esports right now, in terms of getting actual people to watch around the world that aren't just people who play and enjoy these games, it's hard to pick a team because so many of these groups that play together are all across the world. Like, there's not really an American team. You know what I mean? Like, it's different parts of the country. And
every team's made
the
up
closest
of, like, international.
Exactly. Yeah.
But that's the same thing
exactly.
with hockey.
Yeah.
When hockey's in the Olympics, they break off into their countries of origin, and they fight for they play for their country. They fight and go into war. So it's like you have.
I don't know, man. I mean, the skates are
like you might have, you know, people on that are on the same NHL team, but then they wind up facing off against each other in the Olympics or in the junior championships or whatever.
So you're saying is they should sanction it off by country?
Well, yeah, you'd have to because that's how the rest of the Olympics are.
Right.
My issue, I think he's got a case as if you just take esports at face value and send them in there. My issue with it is I look at the actual players of esports, and I don't see men and women conducting themselves as Olympians.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, that's a good point, yeah. Because, I mean, the majority of them are like, what, 14?
Well, even so, 15 years old. It's not even that necessarily. But it's like, you just look at some of the stuff that they say in public and like the way they carry themselves and attitudes, and like those aren't, like, it's not what you would expect an Olympian, like the way you expect them to carry themselves. Like, there's, they need a bit more class, which I know is funny coming from me, but I'm not trying to be an Olympian, so, you know.
But I mean, do you think that would change if there was sponsorships and, you know, just wheelbarrows of cash being thrown at them? Like,
it would.
You know, if Nike came in and said that we're going to make all of your jerseys and give you this endorsement, I think that would take a turn for the majority of them, that it's like, look, like, now you have to conduct yourself like a, you know, like a not a piece of garbage of human society anymore. Like,
right. I see. I think if that happened, if they actually started walking with a little professionalism, because if they don't, the dollars go away.
Right.
See, to this point, they've been professionals by the literal definition of the word, in that they make money for what they do. But they haven't particularly acted as professionals. I mean, a lot of the like journalists and stuff that cover esports, you know, are fine. Like, but they're not the ones we're talking about sending to the Olympics here.
Right, especially if they're representing an entire country of people.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, boy, Team Button Smasher, I'm gonna fuck you up. No, man. No. No.
It's Team USA, and we're going to fuck you up.
And you're representing your country.
Yeah.
You know, whatever your country is. Like, but if they could do that, if they could make that turn, they could actually wind up doing a lot for the public perception of the quote-unquote gamer.
Yeah, because, I mean, if anything, it just means more exposure to these type of events, which, again, means more money because it comes from advertising. Yeah. And yeah.
But, like, suddenly, like, well, look at these guys. Man, maybe, you know, maybe gamers aren't this stereotypical image we've had of them all these years. You know,
right.
Maybe they can, you know, maybe they are, you know, something different. I mean, we are something different. So I would love to see this, but a few things would have to change first.
I agree. But I think it's an interesting idea because, I mean, I've seen so many interviews with, you know, these quote-unquote sports journalists, especially for the ones that work on ESPN, where they laugh at things like this. And it's like, even if you don't understand it, which obviously they don't. They don't get the hype. They don't understand why, you know, there's 10, 20, 30,000 people who fill a stadium to watch these guys play on computers. They don't get it, and that's fine. But any businessman or woman who has been in any part of any kind of business knows that if there are people who are interested and they come and gaggles like they do to these events, there is money to be had, and you have to swallow your pride and your ignorance and at least try and attempt to figure out what's going on and how to capitalize on it, because that is the American way. Is capitalizing.
America.
So, but yeah, no, it's something I definitely kind of keep track of because, one, I just fucking love watching the shit. Like, I watch Evo every year, because I just love the intensity that these guys bring. But you're right. There is a high level of immaturity, that comes with a lot of these guys, simply because they still feel like they are just playing a game. And it's like, at that point of this level of competition, it's like, it's really not a game anymore. Like, it is a competition. It is very competitive, and you need a high level of skill to be here. So conduct yourself there. Hence
here forth.
There you go. All right. One last little bit. Actually, I have a couple of issues with this next bit of news. But an EVE Online player loses $1,500 in a ship attack. So for those who don't know what EVE Online is, EVE Online is kind of like a sci-fi, huge, massively multiplayer, open world style game. There is a currency called Plex, P-L-E-X, which is used for the majority of transactions within the game, much like money is in the real world. And apparently, somebody was carting $1,500 worth of this Plex, and he set off for deep space, and then got blown up by a fellow player without ever making his way out of a high security space. So one, I didn't even know EVE Online was still a thing, so that was kind of interesting to me. The other thing that still boggles my mind is the amount of money that people spend in these games. Real money. And then just how quickly it's gone in something like this. Let's see, it says, all of the Plex was destroyed, all 84 pieces, which roughly comes out to 70 billion ISK on the open market, which I guess is also a high amount. The bright side is that this might at least teach the lesson that this targo is too valuable to cart around unguarded, by which we mean that you can check back here in a couple of months from now to see the same thing happen again to another player, which is kind of a funny.
And probably very true.
How do you feel about this? Like, is this,
I don't understand. He actually physically paid $1,500 for this stuff? Or is it something like not... you can grow and farm and then like sell to other players?
So, I was questioning that myself, and according to reading through the comments below, it appears that having this much Plex at one time generally comes from purchasing it outright. Again, I'm just reading the comments because my knowledge of EVE Online is you could write on very a 50 limited cent stamp.
I've never seen any of it. So, I mean, if he actually paid for this, then you know, whatever, he's gotten what he deserved, because if I bought a $1,500 TV, let's say.
Right.
I'm not going to leave it outside my house and then just go ahead and take a nap.
You wouldn't? That's not something you would do?
If you made a $1,500 investment in something, you wouldn't just haphazardly leave it around somewhere. And if I had $1,500 in my pocket, I would be extraordinarily cautious about where I was going with it until I got to the safe destination, likely my bank, that I was headed with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there would be precautions taken, let's say, to ensure that nothing would occur that would endanger that cashola. Them sweet dollar bills, y'all.
But no, I think the other thing that's comical to me is apparently the player who blew up a ship, like, didn't even move. Like, he just happened to see him off in the distance and probably just shot a missile at him and, you know, gone. Like, he's dead.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. So it's like, not only was this super sad that you lost this amount of money in an online video game, but this guy also did it from the beautiful position of practically his couch without moving a muscle, just happened to be casually walking by.
Obviously. You know what? The only person who's sad about this is the guy who lost the money. Because like, all right, well, what did you learn? Probably nothing is the saddest part.
Yeah.
He probably thought, I'll send this transport off just like this and it won't draw any attention because there's not an armored transport coming with it, like the president.
Right. Like, nobody will know
that
there's anything just worth. Yeah.
Fly casually.
Yeah. Or it's just like, well, this is EVE Online. Nobody plays this game anymore. Nobody knows what this is. Oh, my ignorance.
Yep. How'd that work out for you? Pretty good.
I mean, I got a kick out of it.
Yeah.
So I think I got a little bit more out of the story than most people.
Hey.
Because I was like, fucking EVE Online? Still online?
Hey, dude.
It's weird.
Use your $1,500 next time for, you know, something tangible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, maybe like a $1,500 TV that you'll probably have sitting out on the curb while you go take a nap. Yep.
Definitely.
So, it's good. It's a very expensive nap, Tom.
It is. It is. And this was quite the expensive mistake.
Yes. And I think it's probably time for a very expensive break.
All right.
Matt Hunter, attorney at law. Tonight's episode, New Year's Murder Eve.
No one to kiss on New Year's Eve?
Matt Hunter, attorney at law. All right, we are back with our review of Bit Trip Runner. Bit Trip Runner is the fastest, most exhilarating music/rhythm platform to hit Steam. Race across the move, kicking down crystal walls and sliding under chomping moon slugs. Bound through the robotic mines and face off against the minor mech. Dash through the big city on a quest to find friends and defeat the final boss together. Runner is the fourth chapter in this award-winning and critically acclaimed Bit Trip series. You control Video, or Commander Video, as he jumps, slides, kicks, and more. Extremely addictive, just one more time gameplay. Those are in quotes, just one more time in quotes. With exciting modern and retro challenges, you run through more than 50 levels. Chiptune supergroup Anamanaguchi makes a guest appearance. Joy Commander Video and Bit Trip Runner on his most epic journey yet. All right, Tom, let's start off with your initial impressions of Bit Trip Runner.
Kind of gripped me at first. The game overall turned out to be a bit tragic.
Ooh, a tragedy.
Yes. And not for why you might think. Well, actually, maybe. Who knows what you think? I'm not a mind reader, you know. But I mean,
I disagree.
A beautiful game. The music is great. Everything they did, like how you add to the music when you, and you know, navigate an obstacle. Boink, more music, because I jumped over a thing. Ding, whatever the noise is. And then, like, you grab the different power-ups that add tracks to the music. Awesome. Beautiful. And speaking of beautiful, it looks beautiful.
Yeah, it's definitely a good-looking game.
It's like an 8-bit sprite inside of a not 8-bit world. It's just, it's very, very nice. It's very pretty. It's well done. The tragedy that there was so much going on the screen, stuff in the background that didn't even need to be going on, and it's moving so quickly and there's so much going on that it continually just gave me a splitting headache. Like, it's too much shit going on, and there's only one other game I've ever played that's given me a headache like this, and it was F-Zero on the Super Nintendo. And so I couldn't play it very long. Like, a session couldn't go very long because it was just too much input for me.
Yeah, for somebody who is easily distracted, this game is definitely not for you, because as you're racing along, it's an endless runner of sorts. So there's no slowing down. Like, you're constantly moving to the right, and you're collecting like these gold bars, and every time you pick one up, there's just like a explosion of color on the screen, and like it's so hard to lose track of where you are, because it almost engulfs your entire playing field. And yeah, like you were saying, with all the stuff going around in the backgrounds and how fast paced it is, like it's really hard to concentrate on what you're doing and to separate what's important and what's not. because they're constantly throwing shit at you, essentially.
Yeah. And it's just, it's too much, and they threw way more than they needed to. Like, just, there's things that are just always moving around in the background of the levels. Like, they're 2D levels, but they're still, like, they're like that 2-3D mesh.
Right.
And so, in the background, there's just, like, stuff moving and rotating, and it has no purpose, but it so distracts you. You're trying to focus on this, and that's in your periphery, and it's just, it's too much input. It's kind of like one of the things you didn't like about Beat Hazard.
Yes, yeah, the Beat Hazard kind of falls in that as well for me. To me, anyway, the difference with Beat Hazard was it comes in small bursts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, when there's a lot of shit going on the screen, there's a reason, because, you know, there's just so many enemies, you start to feel overwhelmed, which for me in video games, feeling overwhelmed is fairly common for whatever reason. Like, I'm usually pretty good in, like, you know, the real world and dealing with stress and
yeah,
shit like that. But, like, in a video game, like, if there's just too much, I'm just like, oh, man, stop. I can't do it, man.
I'm shutting down.
And but with BitChip Runner, like, all of that feeling of being overwhelmed is meaningless, because it in no way impacts or changes the game that I'm actually playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not a difficulty thing as it was with Beat Hazard. But, I mean, it's, I've always enjoyed games like this, because, like, if I like the sensation of being like, okay, I've got the patterns down, and now it's just up to me memorizing things and, you know, keeping the beat going and stuff like that. Like, I like the idea of games like that.
Sure.
But again, it's still, with all of the crap that's going on at once, it's like, I just can't, it doesn't make me want to keep going. Like, I don't get that just one more time gameplay.
Right.
Feeling, you know what I mean? Cause
I'm like, oh God, one more time, I guess. That's the kind of gameplay I get.
Because, like, if you get hit by something or if you forget to jump, you just automatically just start over at the beginning. And, like, these levels are super short for the most part. Like,
yeah,
you know, they do get longer as you go on. But, you know, realistically, on the grand scheme of things, like, these levels are fairly short. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the time, you really are just, you're jumping over obstacles, you're ducking under obstacles, and you're kicking obstacles that can be kicked. Everything is very specific in terms of what you can do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to learn those, obviously. And then the game starts throwing curveballs at you where they're, you know, it's, you jump multiple times in succession, or you have to jump and kick at the same time to get over a certain obstacle, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. Like, the way that this game ramps up in terms of its difficulty is very well done. Like, I didn't feel like there was a huge learning curve, to master this game. 'Cause it's like, if you can get these five or six gameplay mechanics down, like, now it's just the idea of doing them consecutively at a faster pace.
Right.
Like, that's, I'm fine with that. Like, it's something that's, I mean, that kind of idea in terms of gameplay has been around for years, and I think in that instance, BitChip Runner did a very good job at perfecting that and trying to make it the best that they could. But I keep going back to just the all of the random shit that's going on and the distractions, and I felt like if you collect all of the gold bars or piles of gold in a particular level, you unlock a bonus stage. And the bonus stage is essentially the exact same game, but a different level, but it's in an 8-bit or even lesser than
it
that.
It looks like one of the old Activision games for the Atari 2600.
Yeah. And so there is no flashy. You know, everything's very static.
At the risk of sounding hypocritical, that goes too far in the other direction.
Exactly. Like, then I felt bored.
There's not even music. There's nothing.
It's
just boop, 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 boop.
Which I can understand what they were going for. I get that. Like, and I feel like they have achieved creating that atmosphere of the games that once were. If this game had been created back then, that's fine. But I didn't care for them because, it, like you just said, it was the complete, it was too much in the opposite direction. Like, there's no happy medium for this game for me.
The other thing is, those levels, those bonus levels, stop the game dead.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about killing the pace of a video game. That's exactly how you do it.
And it's not like I can skip them. If I unlock the gold bars, I'm doing this level whether I like it or not.
Right, which is kind of counterintuitive because the whole idea is, this is a high score game. You want to get the highest score possible, so obviously collecting all of the gold bars is going to help you achieve that. But then you play these bonus courses, and it's just like, I don't want to collect all these gold bars now because I don't want to play this stupid bonus.
That's what I wound up doing, was I would purposely jump over the first one and then play through the rest of the level so I didn't have to do those stupid bonus levels.
And, I mean, and this game, especially when it comes to, you know, independent games that have made it into the mainstream, like, Commander Video is a very well-known figure now. Like, he's, I believe he was even a figure in Smash Brothers Brawl, or maybe it was, I don't remember, I think it was Brawl, that he was, like, a little figurine. Like, he's, I mean, he makes an appearance in a lot of video games now. Like, it's, he's kind of made a name for himself, and that's great. But I mean, I just can't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, I think it's probably worth a try for people out there. It's never very expensive.
Yeah. I was just like going to check that.
Full price is like $2.
Oh no, it's gotta be more than that.
I don't think it's very much, dude.
It's gotta be more than $2.
I got a whole bundle of these for $2.
Well, I mean, was that during like a Steam sale? I mean,
well, sure. But...
Well, duh. Bitch Hit Runner goes for $10.
Seriously?
Yeah.
No.
Bitch Hit Runner goes for 10. They're all pretty much $10. Mm. Bitch Hit B, Bitch Hit Boy, Bitch Hit Core, Fate, and then Bitch Hit Runner 2 is actually $15.
The bit trippening.
Yeah.
Okay, so don't pay $10 for this.
No. No. And I also believe I bought this in a bundle pack. Which is sad, because I will never...
play any of the other ones now?
I will never play any. Like I think I have maybe got an hour and a half gameplay into this one, just for this review. And I quickly uninstalled it. Like, I'm not going to play this game again. Right. Because I just can't. Maybe, like, again, I like the idea. I like games like this. And maybe there are other Bit Trip games that I will enjoy.
I might try Bit Trip 2 to see if they fixed any of that shit.
Yeah. Like, that was what I was going to say. Like, I might... Well, screw it, man. I'm going to watch a video really quick to see if they fixed anything.
Okay, well, we'll just sit here on pause. La 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 la. Eric's watching a video. Dun, 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 no.
That's I don't it. Think that's really that's all necessary. I got. All right, well, this one's called The Future Legend of Rhythm Alien.
I can see it in your glasses, and it's going backwards, like the mirror effect, and it's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. They definitely changed the backgrounds. I mean, there's still a lot of shit going on, but it's not as in your face. It's just pleasant to look at now.
Okay.
Looks like they added some new mechanics. They've got more like a... kind of a Sonic the Hedgehog kind of thing going on where, like, you go around a loop.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of neat.
So it might be worth a try, then.
There's some, like, rail elements to it where you're, like, gliding on a rail and stuff.
I mean, I figure I already have it, so I might as well give it a shot at some point.
Yeah, like, this game... Oh, nope, space level's pretty outrageous.
Space. It's the final frontier, you know.
It is. Yeah. It's yes. So yeah, I mean, I had hoped it would be more.
Yeah, I was excited about it, but
yeah. I have to throw it in the same realm as Hyper Hexagon that we played.
Super Hexagon.
Episode. Super Hexagon.
Which is a great game.
No, I just can't. I can't do it.
Yeah, Bit Trip's too much, though.
I'm getting too old, man.
Maybe that's it. This shit. Maybe we're just getting too old and we're curmudgeonly.
It could be. I mean, as it may sound, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, whatever happens.
So yeah, wouldn't recommend it.
Definitely not for $10. If you catch it on a sale, you might like it. I don't know. I feel like some people would really like this game. We just weren't two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Tom, it's your turn. Pick the next game.
Yep, and it's time.
So let's pick a doozy, shall we?
It's time. It's time to begin our journey.
Okay. What are we doing?
We are going to start The Walking Dead Season 2.
Yes, we are.
And we are going to play Episode 1.
Fantastic.
Yep. I imagine that this will be the next 5 episodes.
Probably, yeah.
Which really makes things easier on us.
Yeah. Huh. Well, and I think it makes sense on our listeners as well. Because if they're following along with us, they... You know, there won't be any backstory and stuff like that. Like, they'll be in the know.
It's true, but they've come to expect odd, random spontaneity from us.
It's true.
Well, you won't get any for the next 5 episodes, so meh. That should take us into episode 33.
Yeah, it would.
I just picked the game for the next 5 episodes.
That works for me. All right, yeah, so we're going to play episode 1 of season 2 of... Right? Episode 1, season 2? Yeah.
Episode... Yeah, okay.
1 of season 2, yeah. It's so confusing.
I picked
up... The Walking Dead.
Was it Christmas? It was Christmas. Or the day after. Or in that week, Xbox One, in the store, they put up the Telltale Pack, which was everything.
Really?
Walking Dead season 1 and 2, The Wolf Among Us, Game of Thrones, Tales from the Borderlands, all of it, all of the episodes... And it normally goes for $109, and it was on sale for $55, and I picked it up. So nice. I have every of the every now. So I'm going to play this on the Xbox One.
Interesting.
It's the same game.
I know, but still.
It's just prettier, probably. Probably not. But either way, I can play it on the giant television, and that's what's more important.
Yeah, that's exactly.
With the sound bar. Exactly.
Ooh.
Yeah.
A glorious sound.
Lights off. Zombies.
I don't know what that was, but
it was a song amazing. I wrote for you.
Oh.
Because I care.
Thanks, man. About?
Zombies.
Oh.
Actually, funny enough, I don't care about zombies at all. Like, I'm so tired of that trope.
I am super over zombies right now.
But these games are so good, I don't care.
They are pretty good. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. It's pretty good.
And that'll finally pull me off of Dragon Age and let me do something else with the Xbox for a few days.
Yeah.
Which means I will probably rush through this 2 Saturdays from now when I realize I have a recording in the morning.
Right, because you've been playing Dragon Age.
That's my prediction. We'll see.
All right, Tom, I think it's time. I think you know what time it is.
It is, what is it? 9 a.m.
I believe it's actually. Time for It Came... From eBay. It Came From eBay is the section of our show where we comb through the ridiculousness of eBay listings involving video games, pick out the best few for this week, and we just laugh, cry, and complain about idiots on the internet.
I have no personal vendettas this week, so we're good there.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. I mean, you know, the vendetta was kind of... It was comical.
It was cathartic for me, anyway. Very therapeutic.
So
I felt better.
I think as a group, we went through that together. So
it's true.
You're not alone, Tom.
And hey, I'm going to hold something up here to the camera for you.
Hey, is that mine?
Yeah.
So it finally came.
Oh, actually,
so the jump pack and the...
We should probably update them. So you'll remember from last episode that... I had the Pikachu N64 for my niece, and the cover for the expansion slot was missing, and it had the original jumper pack in it, and Eric mailed me that set from his Pikachu N64 that was a non-working unit. Well, it showed up at my apartment on December 26th, so...
Which it was supposed to show up Tuesday... A week before that, according to the United States Postal Service, who apparently lied to me.
Yeah, they'll do that.
So,
but I mean, it was not a ruined holiday. I had, during the ordeal, already ordered another lid So that showed up, and then I pulled the expansion pack out of my own N64 to drop into hers. So that's just going to replace that one.
There you go.
And then, I don't know, I guess I've got a lid for the next guy that gets screwed over by Sosa Games.
Good times.
Yeah.
Well, at least it all worked out in the end.
It sure did, buddy. Anyway, so eBay's.
Oh, yeah. It came from eBay. I'm going to get us started.
Yeah.
Tom.
Okay.
With one of my personal favorites. This is the Twisted Metal 4 track bundle, PSX, PS1, PlayStation, new sealed, rare, holy grail.
Holy shit.
Going for the small amount of $4,999.99. We're just going to go ahead and scroll all the way down to the best part of the listing.
If okay. I can
make this window bigger. And it's, where'd it go? And it says, hello, welcome to Rare Bucky's Video Game Collection Blowout. I am selling my entire video game collection that has taken years to acquire. Everything you see here is listed are originals and are either factory sealed or in mint new condition. If you are a collector or just need a few games to play, well, you will not find better condition items on eBay. Condition of each game will be described fully. The item. The item you are bidding on is a Twisted Metal 4 Tracks Bundle PSX. This game is brand new and factory sealed. It is guaranteed to be factory sealed as it has the factory vit holes in the wrap. I don't fucking... This is considered one of the holy grails of the PlayStation collecting and... Oh, okay, that does make sense. And has not been seen on eBay in years.
Yeah, there's a reason for that.
It features a black label factory sealed copy of Twisted Metal 4 game... in parentheses, the Y-Folds and Sony UPC, bundled together with the Twisted Track CD, all sealed together. This game is in near mint condition. There are no cracks on the case or loose discs. There is a split in the outer bundle wrap on the bottom. This game is very rare, so don't miss out.
Tell me what to do, Rare Bucky.
Rare Bucky has for sale a... easily known as the worst Twisted Metal game ever in the series, for $5,000.
Worse than Black?
Oh my gosh, much worse than Black.
Oh.
Much worse than Black. And the only thing that this item has for sale that I would actually be interested in is actually the Twisted Tracks.
Yeah. Yeah, probably soundtrack. Be a good listen.
I mean, yeah, I wouldn't mind having that. But this is the this is the second of two games that 989 Studios took over after Sony was like, you know what, the series dead, we're just going to give it up, and decided to give Rob Zombie pretty much the entire creative manifest. He created the majority of the tracks. He is also a playable character in the game. His ending consists of a partial music video of Super Beast from his album.
I used to love that song.
It was a pretty good song.
Yeah.
I like it. So there's a bit of the music video for his ending. $5,000. This game has not been seen on eBay in years, which is, again... one of the most comical things, in my opinion, because people who viewed this item has also viewed Twisted Metal 4 for $20, Twisted Metal 4 for $45, Twisted Metal 4 for Buy It Now with $25, $45, $12.25. We also have a Twisted Metal 4 Greatest Hits collection for a Buy It Now price of the high order of $1.
Looks like you got caught in a little lie there, Rare Fucky.
Rare Bucky. Bucky.
Is it, yeah, that's what I said.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
So, again, I mean, other than that Twisted Tracks CD, which you could probably just rip online through a torrent.
Mm-hmm. Or you could probably even just get it, like, on iTunes itself. Or Amazon Music for, like, a dollar.
Pennies yeah. on the dollar, yeah. $4 first class USPS shipping. Let's see. This item is very rare to find, even rarer to find in this condition, so don't miss out. Bid with confidence to purchase items from a collector who has cared for his merchandise. This item comes with a pet-free, smoke-free home. Pictures below are the actual item you were bidding on. Do not use stock photos. Well, yeah, I can give you a golf clap for that.
Yeah.
If you have any questions about this item regarding the condition, please contact me well in advance of the auction ending. Okay, so I do have a question. Why is this the game $5,000?
That's a good question. Here's where I'll give him some credit. He at least didn't send it off to the video game assholes.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
To get it graded and sealed and whatever.
Well, if you did that, it'd be an extra $5,000. Encased in carbonite. So. Yeah. So, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go ahead and pass on that rare fucky, but thanks anyway.
Bucky, rare Bucky.
Isn't that what I said?
Yes, I think it was.
Oh, okay, cool.
Sorry.
No. All right, I think I'll go now. What I have for us is LucasArts Classic Adventures Hint Guidebook Loom Maniac Ooh. Mansion Cheat Book.
Really?
Yeah, you can buy it now for $8,695 even with $4 standard shipping.
Probably going to pass.
This, and the picture is of this cheat book, hint book, if you will. It is a paperback, and there's a tape measure showing us that it is just shy of 7 inches across. And the book's just beat to shit. It really is.
Yeah, it's pretty, the spine's all creased and pretty nasty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Up for auction is a LucasArts Classic Adventures Hint Book. This book features information and game hints for the following games: Maniac Mansion, Zack McCracken and the Alien Mindbenders, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Loom, and The Secret of Monkey Island. Some decent games in there. Please take a look at the photos and let me know if you have any questions. Thanks for looking. Posted with eBay Mobile. So...
Oh, wow, and there's an actual link to eBay Mobile as well.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And he's just got a lot of pictures of different pages within the book. And so he wants pretty close to $9,000 for this. Now, I, in my infinite research, have found that they actually separated these out into different hint and cheat guides and publish them for free on this thing called the internet.
What?
Yeah.
And where?
Now, I didn't know that this internet was a thing, but it turns out if you just type a game's name in and you can add different qualifiers like walkthrough or guide or hints or cheats.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
Well, that's the internet is here for you. And it will explain what those are. And, more importantly, will not charge you $8,695 for a beat-up old book. Very beat-up. Paperback.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a picture of Indiana Jones in there. There are black and white pictures of, looks like cover art for some of the games. And, again, if you go back to my friend I was telling you about, what was his name again? The Internet? You can actually find these photos in stunning full color.
Hmm.
Now, how much would you pay for something like that?
It would be upwards of dollars, for sure.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
But my friend The Internet will give all of that to you for free.
That's it. That seems illegal, Tom.
No.
I don't want the mine police after me.
No, you just have to not use it for commercial purposes. The waters get muddied there, but let's not get that.
Let's not get into those debates.
So, you know, it's basically $8,700 for a book of nothing.
So, okay. I have a fairly sizable collection of strat guides for games of old. Actually sitting right behind me.
It's quite lovely.
All of them I have encased in plastic with cardboard backings to help protect their integrity. I enjoy looking at these books. I think that even though I can receive these same strategies, if not better strategies, online for nothing, essentially, I do enjoy the occasional browse through page flipping of looking at these guides. But I think the most money I've ever spent on a particular strategy guide or hint book of this kind was probably $5.
So not $8,695.
Now, I am intrigued about this book, and it does look like something I would enjoy having in my collection, but for no more than about $5.
Right. Yeah, and if this had been a reasonable price, it wouldn't be on the show.
It's true. You know, you probably just would have emailed it to me and said, hey, you may enjoy this. Right. You should,
I mean, you may still enjoy this.
Yeah, I may.
That's up to you. But don't forget that my old friend the internet, he's right there for you.
Yeah, where did you meet this friend of yours? He sounds like a drug dealer.
I met him online.
Wait, you met the internet on the internet?
Yeah. It's very meta.
It's very meta. It's very meta. So, yeah. Well, I'm just gonna go. I, for Tom, for you, have Final Fantasy 7, 8, and 9.
Ooh.
Selling My Childhood, in parentheses, do not work. For $2,999.99.
I'm confused. Is that an order? Is he telling me not to do work?
Well, we'll get to that.
Oh, okay,
so,
cool.
Let's get into the description. It says, please read description, all in red text, bold, capitalized, underlined. So I'm going to guess that he really wants us to read this. So let's read it. So you might be asking, why are you selling these three games for this ridiculous price?
I am. I'm asking that, actually. Yeah.
At first, I thought, holy shit, this guy has listened to the podcast. are fans of Breaking Bits. And, you know, why not? Why wouldn't you be? I mean, I think we put on a fairly quality show for the most part. So I thought maybe he was, you know, talking directly to us.
We're very popular, yeah.
We're getting there. We're not doing too bad. I think we got a pretty nice fan base for the most part.
Yeah.
Just send us some fucking emails, but you know, whatever.
Hey, we've actually got...
Whoa, don't break the silence, Tom. Don't break the silence. So you may... Why are you selling these games for a ridiculous price? Well, I'll tell you why. Good. So I don't have to go searching for the reason.
That's super.
I am on the verge of going bankrupt and already had closed my physical store while struggling to make ends meet for me and my kid. I am still paying off loans and decided that I must sell my closest childhood possessions as well as anything else in arm's reach. These have sentimental value to me, hence the price. Second, the condition of the games. They do not work. These games are scratched to hell and constantly freeze, cases are busted, and no books or inserts are included. This is up, hopefully, for a gratuitous donation for a man who is losing everything he has. Also, no returns. All sales are final and there are no returns. No returns. If you have any questions, please ask. So I have a couple of questions, Tom.
Okay.
The first one actually comes in the actual initial title listing for this item, which was in parentheses, do not work, which at first reading, I thought maybe he does not work, which ended up being true towards the bottom.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was it had a double meaning that the games also did not work. now, the other question that comes to mind is if something doesn't work, at least for its intended use, obviously these can be transcoded into coasters or used as throwing discs, but its initial purpose is lost, which makes me beg the question, how are these his closest childhood possessions?
And why does it look like there's a whole lot of them?
Well, I mean, you know, there's multiple discs per game.
Oh, okay. You know? That's what I'm seeing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
So, I mean, like,
it looked like there was more than one copy of each game.
Oh, yeah, like Final Fantasy VIII, it's like, it's a four-disc game, so there's 40 discs. You know, 9 was 2 or 3 it's or something.
That's so weird. Maybe. There's no bids. Okay. It's so bizarre.
I know. There's, yeah, this is coming from Ika, Mississippi? Ika? I-U-K-A? Yuka? I don't know.
You know.
Yeah.
We've all got problems, buddy.
I mean.
And, mm-hmm. You know, if you got to sell stuff. But, like, just because you have some hardship does not mean somebody just owes you thousands of dollars, like, for nothing.
For coasters, yeah. Essentially. Yeah.
No, I mean, like, it's just.
Because, like, if I had money. If I, like, just money to burn, I would buy these from him for the low price of the $2,999.99. And I would take a photo and send it to him of me using these just as coasters. And with the caption, "Look at what I'm doing to your childhood."
So you would be Michael Bay?
Yes, yes. I would. There would be CGI everywhere.
Explosions.
Explosions.
And Megan Fox.
Yes. Because apparently people still find her attractive, which kind of...
Surprised to learn she was still alive.
Yeah. I mean, I thought they could have swore that she died
Was she ever really alive?
Well, she's dead on the inside.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what counts.
So, yeah, that's what I would do with these.
You know, I mean, I've had hard times in my life. I'm sure you have as well. One time I had to sell my Wii to make a car payment.
Yeah. Because
I was out of work. But I didn't sell it for $4,000. I sold it for what it was worth. Because, you know, I'm not a douche.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, about this anyway.
Well, yeah. So. Yeah.
It's funny that you brought a charity case, because I have also brought a charity case. We really like these.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
So I'll take us home with the Sony PlayStation 3 60GB Piano Black Console NTSC. Ooh. Trying to raise money for school.
Aww.
So for this PlayStation 3, which is filthy.
Yeah, it's pretty dirty, I'm not going to lie.
$4,000.
Oh, that's just a drop in the bucket, Tom.
Free economy shipping.
Hey.
Selling PlayStation 3 to finish college. I know this is not your typical eBay selling ad, and unfortunately it kind of is.
This is definitely a trend that we're seeing.
I'm just honestly looking for a prayer to be answered to help raise some money to go back to school. I currently have a full-time job and go to school part-time for computer information systems / computer science at Eastern Michigan University. I've been working. Right after he talks about how he goes to college. I've been working and saving money to go back to school. I have a parent I take care of who is not in the best of health. So saving money for college can be better some months than others. I decided to basically try my luck on eBay to see if any miracles can be made with putting this ad up on eBay. Apparently you're not going to college for sentence structure. I've been, again, selling things on eBay. Here's inconsistency in how he spells eBay.
Yeah, it's a capital E instead of a lowercase e.
To help raise money for school as well. I enjoy the game. What game?
I don't know.
You just said console.
That's what I was looking at.
But I know getting my education is way more important to me. This is the reason I'm posting this and asking for a prayer to happen. Please help. Help is capitalized for no reason. Any way possible, be truly appreciated.
Yes.
Thank you for reading, and God bless. Now, I'm just going to address something quickly. Eric, I don't talk about this much because it doesn't usually particularly have a bearing on anything we discuss.
Exactly.
But you may or may not be aware that I am a Christian man.
I was aware, yes.
So, I think even if I wasn't a Christian man, if I knew nothing, I would know that if I was asking someone for a prayer to happen, I would ask the deity in which I believe. Would you not?
I believe that's how it works, yes. I'm pretty sure.
I would not ask a bunch of strangers on eBay to answer a prayer because, you know, that's generally the accepted definition of praying. That's not how any of that works.
No, that's not from what I've been told.
It's not. You could ask a person for a favor to happen. Hey, man, I'm down on my luck. Can you spare? Do you have a couple grand you can lend me?
Like 4,000?
Yeah. Like, that's what you can ask of a person. So there's my problem there. I mean, first of all, to finish college, do you mean to get your GED? Is that what you really mean here?
To finish high school?
I was like, did you write this ad while you were drunk?
Oh, I mean, it's college. I mean,
and then just the condition. And it does look like he's going to include some games, I think. Like, there's a picture of games, but he never says that they're included.
No, and then there's a picture of games with the console. Then there's another picture of the games with console that is slightly shifted to the left, which I thought was kind of funny.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
He implies it, but he never actually says it. He could just be showing you games that would work on the console.
Like, these games were created for the PlayStation 3. Yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would enjoy having a PlayStation 3. I do not own one. I would enjoy having a PlayStation 3. But I just don't think I have it available in the bank account to help. He says that he's trying to raise money to go back to school. So he's not currently in school. He's raising money to go back to school.
Ah, well, that would explain a lot of this.
Yeah. Had gone to college, was about a year and a half away from a bachelor's degree in computer science. And I was helping my grandparents were actually helping me foot the bill because it's very expensive.
Yeah.
Then my grandfather calls me out of the blue one day and says, hey, times are rough. Your grandmother and I aren't doing so well. We can't take care of each other anymore. We have to go into a home. The amounts per month for this home is practically what I'm giving you to help support you going to college. So that money will now have to be refunneled into your grandmother and I. Being the lovable grandson that I was, I said that was perfectly fine. You know, thank you for helping me this far. Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm not going to be a dick to my grandfather.
You old prick.
Yeah. And he asked me, well, what are you going to do? And I'm like, well, I think I'm at a particular age where I can actually just try to get loans and be considered an independent student, and maybe I'll be fine. So that came through. Tried to go through that process. Didn't work out. Couldn't get the money. So I just didn't go.
If only you'd have had a PlayStation 3.
Exactly. And then maybe somebody would pay for me to go to college. It sucks, man. Welcome to the real world. You know, my grandparents passed away shortly thereafter. And it's that's what happens. Old people die. Still sucks. But, I haven't gone back to college to get my degree because now I am married and I have a family and a house and car payments and insurance. And I frankly don't have the time nor the energy to go to college, so maybe that is my blessing in disguise,
right?
You know, so maybe not giving this guy $4,000 is actually the better thing to do.
We're helping him.
Not only we are helping him. So, 'cause this guy's an idiot for one.
Yeah, but
nice, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
The charity case.
Yeah, it's always there.
They're everywhere. I didn't bring this one because there's a bunch of the white PlayStation 4s or the anniversary ones. Like $20,000. Man.
No.
Eat a bag of dicks. Go away.
Yeah. I saw a bunch of those too, and I'm like, we've already talked about this. I don't want to keep doing it.
And Amiibos.
Oh, yeah, the stupid Amiibo things. Gosh.
I did pick up a Zelda one, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah. So now I have Link and Zelda together. Paid $13 for it, like a real person.
Yeah.
Not exactly. 7,000 or whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Anyhow, they look really good together, still in their packages, since I still don't have a Wii U. But
yeah. Well, even if you get a Wii U, are you going to take them out of the package?
Probably not, because they look really good displayed now. It's too late for them to ever come out of those packages.
You are forever stuck in that package.
They're sealed until like a third hero shows up. Like, I'm basically Ganondorf. You're in the scenario.
Well, Sheik's out. Isn't Sheik out?
I don't know. I thought sometime this month. But I don't know when exactly. I'm not really up on the Amiibo news.
Oh, I'm not either. It's just whenever I'm in a store and I see them, I'll look.
Yeah. Well, Amazon will recommend them to me now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so I'll just wait for them to tell me that Sheik's available and I'll grab Sheik. Yeah. And there's just Ganondorf and Toon Link, and I've got the set.
There you go. Up. I probably won't get Toon Link.
I will just for the sake of the completion.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If I've already got the other four, I might as well get him too.
Hmm. A, damn it, Tom. No, I'm probably going to get it too.
You're welcome.
Oh, yeah, so that was it came from eBay. So it's always good. And Tom,
yep.
Holy shit, we have a listener email.
Bullshit.
We do.
Huh.
It's from a real life person.
Well,
and the email states, hello, fellow Eric and Tampa Bay Bears fan. I'm going to guess that's you. But I thought.
There's a story.
Good. It's been a while, but Stella got her groove back. LOL. I don't know what he's referencing there.
Yeah, he's apparently Stella.
Oh. Well, that's not what
Stella!
Anyway. I come to you, good sirs, with a number of questions. Well, I mean, we can only answer one. I don't know if we can answer a number of them.
One is a number.
That's true. You get to create a game about your life. What type of game is it? Which system is it released for? 3 question marks. It's a lot of question marks. Also, are you the hero, NPC, or villain in your game? Sincerely, Eric, where the fuck have you been? Hoffer. I didn't know that was his middle name. So
Where the fuck have you been, Eric Hoffer?
I mean, I talk to him on Twitter all the time.
I do, too. That's where the Tampa Bay Bears fan thing comes in. He's a Bears fan, and I'm a Bucks fan.
Right.
And we've pretty much slowly brought Chicago to Tampa. Like,
is that okay? Did anybody notice? Has anybody noticed that Chicago is now in Tampa?
Basically. Like, we took their coach, and then we took their quarterback, and then we took, like, so, and then we play like them, so.
Nice.
No,
so
it isn't.
Tom,
it sure isn't.
No, it's a terrible.
It's awful. It makes me weep.
But you're going to make a game about your life. What kind of game are we looking at? What's it going to be released for?
So I've always really wanted to do the Tom Simulator 2015.
Did you?
Yeah.
Have you?
But I'm not going to.
Okay.
I would definitely do the giant open world RPG.
Nice.
It'll be released for everything, because I want everyone to play it.
Nice.
And so you include, you don't exclude. It doesn't help me at all. Here's an interesting twist. I'm going to have what I've always wanted in a game, where I am the villain, but I am the protagonist.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
No.
Okay, so I'm always, you play a game, and you're always Mario, you're always Link, you're always Sonic, you're Mega Man, you're always fighting evil.
Right.
Well, I want to play from the other side to defeat the hero.
But wouldn't that just be the same game?
Not really.
Because then wouldn't the roles reverse?
Everything would be changed, your motivations would all be different. I'm imprisoning, I'm not freeing, I'm hurting, I'm not helping.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Has that never been done before?
I don't think so. And if it has, please let me know. I'd love to play a game like that.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
But, like, it's always been my thing. Why can't I play a game? Why can't I play The Legend of Ganondorf? Why can't I play Super Bowser? Why can't I be Dr. Wily? And I've never been able to. And this would be my chance.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that's a way better answer than mine. I was just going to be like a Tamagotchi. Kind of Neopet.
That would be cool.
It would be released for your phone, for iPhone and Android, because it wouldn't be one of those games that is like constantly like, oh, such and such is available now, you can play, or oh, you gotta wait this long to do this. Like, you would load the game up and it would just be me doing something, and like occasionally I would enjoy a head scratch.
It's like it's a camera of your house.
Yeah.
And so we just see whatever you're doing.
like, oh, what's your Eric doing now? Like, I have no idea. He's been gone for like 3 days. Like, I think he's downstairs in the basement playing video games, but I don't know. But it says he's in good health, so
we'll be like,
I guess he's all right.
It's time for Eric's sponge bath.
Well, no, like the things, like there would only be like one or two things like I would actually need like throughout the week to keep going, you know, and that would be like somebody scratching my head for 30 seconds because like, I enjoy a good head scratch.
And then giving you a piece of pizza.
Yeah. Or, you know, like we could even like the mini game would be like, well, where do you want to go to dinner tonight? I don't care. Well, I don't either. Pick something. No, you pick something. I picked something last time. No, I picked something. Remember, because we were going to go here, but they were closed. And so I was like, well, let's just go here. So technically I picked it. And I'm like, well, no, I initially picked the idea of where to go. It just didn't flourish. And so that's not my fault. The choice was already done. So this is your turn to make that initial choice. Like that would be the mini game.
Just this within, endless series of dialogue trees.
Yeah. Where I always win. Because I have the patience to mentally break you down.
The stubbornness to never lose.
Stubborn like bull. But yeah, that's I kind of want to play that game now. Where it's just like the game you don't play. Like, what's he doing? Like, I don't know, watching TV, I guess.
I'm going to uninstall this. This is terrible.
It'll be free.
Still terrible.
It'll be free.
There's a lot of free games I never download.
Ah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for the email. If you, dear listener, would like to email the podcast as well, you can do so at breakingbits@hotmail.com. We have a slew of imaginary emails filling up the inbox. So if you get yours in soon, there is a small 100% possibility of us reading it online, on air, and discussing it.
Yeah. We want to hear from you.
That's right. Regardless, don't forget we are playing The Walking Dead Season 2, Episode 1 for the next episode. So if you would like to play with us, please do and email your thoughts of the game and impressions at that same address, breakingbits@hotmail.com. I guess that kind of brings this episode to a close. We always want to thank Mr. Neo Jake MCC for the intro and outro for Breaking Bits entitled Tronics. We link to his SoundCloud account and his Twitter account. Please give him a check out. He's got a lot of cool stuff. He keeps hinting that he's working on stuff, but I believe him.
Yeah, he is.
I don't know.
You'll see. It'll be magical.
It'll be magical. Tom, where can we find you out and about on the your friend, the internet?
My good friend. You can find me on Twitter at Ocarina of Tom. I am a co-community manager for OneMoreCastle.com with Mr. Eric M. Hunter, where I also contribute bi-weekly as the N64 connoisseur. I am endeavoring to review all 296 North American N64 games. You can check out my personal site at thomas-hall.com. It is pretty soon going to get awesome over there. I am launching a second podcast here in the next couple of weeks. And probably by the next time we meet, we'll probably be really close, if not have already launched. So that will be called The Hallway, a weekly show, my own little solo personal project. So
nice.
Yeah, that's me out and about. How about yourself?
Well, if you're looking for all things me, you can always check out ericmhunter.net. As Tom mentioned before, I am part of the co-community manager deployment over at One More Castle. I also am the audio engineer for the podcast over there entitled One More Podcastle, where we talk about retro video games. If you would like to conversate with me, I am on Twitter at Eric Hunter and otherwheres. Of course, you can find all of my indie game reviews and more right here at IamEricM.com. And Tom, with that, I will bid you adieu, and we will see you next time. Same bat channel, same bat time.